You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Go 24/7 podcast. It's been a minute. I think Glenn and I had to take a little sabbatical after just pumping out episodes. But hey, we're back. And man, it's baseball season. That's what we're talking about today here on the Go 24/7 podcast. We hope you subscribe. We hope that you hit that like button and let us know down in the comments below your thoughts. After Glenn, pretty interesting opening weekend for LSU baseball. Some dominant performances and then some pretty close games. And credit to VMI and Central Arkansas for making it an interesting opening weekend with a lot of storylines to kind of come out of the weekend with.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a good thing for this team, and Jay Johnson talked about that after the opener. He talked about it again on Monday, how it was good that they maybe didn't play their best or really not close to their best, and yet they were still able to kind of work through the adversity and come out with wins instead of slipping up with some losses. I mean, you saw it really across the SEC, across the country this year. You've already seen some of the top teams drop a game. I think Arkansas or Florida did. Wake Forest, I think, was in a really big battle last night. I'm not sure if they came back and won that one, but
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there's a lot there that I think LSU could have had. You could have just slipped up in any of those games. But, credit to the team for figuring out a way to win. And I think you did it in a number of different ways. You were able to create free passes in that first game that really helped you separate from VMI. You had the blowout win, obviously, over VMI on the Sunday game, where really LSU's bats could do no wrong in terms of just the singles barrage that they were on. I mean, you can talk more about that and how impressive it was. But and then you had kind of the two games against Central Arkansas that really were, I think, pitching was the biggest storylines of both of them, with Luke Holman doing a really nice job in the starter role on Saturday, carrying you through 5 1/3 innings. And I think probably one of the bigger storylines for me was we went in with a kind of overarching idea of what the starting roles could look like. And I kind of had Griffin Herring, Nate Ackenhausen, Gage Jump, that kind of trio as potential starters this weekend, and you burn through them out of the bullpen in the first two games. And so then you kind of are like, all right, well, what are the options from here on out? And I think that just kind of points to a lot of the mixing and matching Jay Johnson and Nate Yetsky are going to have to do here over the next several weeks. Doesn't seem like anything is really settled on the pitching staff wise outside of Thatcher Hurd and Luke Holman kind of being the stamp, I think, starters to kind of open up the weekend. But, I do think that this is going to be a situation here where LSU can try out a number of different things. I think eventually they would like to see Gage Jump take that starter's role. They just got to build him up a little bit more and be that third weekend starter. You saw it even in the one inning that he had. Stuff is electric, very precise, and when his location, his command, throws 95, 96 from the left side. You just don't get that all that often in college. And so just ramp him up a little bit and see kind of what LSU can do with him as a starter. And, I thought the free passes were also really an important thing. I wrote about this in our kind of three up, three down column that I like to do after the week of baseball, the previous week of baseball. And LSU drew more walks and more hit by pitches than they struck out this weekend. And that's always a blueprint for Jay Johnson and the kind of the offensive way that they like to generate runs. They like to get guys on base. They like to give themselves lots of opportunities here. And I do think that's going to have to be a way that LSU generates offense this year. I don't think you are going to have the, I'm not going to say you're not going to, but you might not have the Dylan Cruz, Gavin Dugas, Trey Morgan, Braden Joubert, those guys that can light it up at the plate on a very consistent basis. I think that's going to be really tough for this group to accomplish. They have some really capable bats. I mean, Travinsky looked really good. I thought Jared Jones looked really solid. You know, it looks like Tommy White's still kind of maybe finding himself a little bit, not worried one bit about Tommy. And Steven Milam gave you some really good at-bats this weekend as well. I think he was one of the surprises. Mac Bam gave you some good looks as well. But, yeah, I think it's just going to be kind of a work in progress with the offense, which you saw kind of on Monday where they jump out to a really good start and then just not able to kind of carry it over the rest of the game. I think they scored only one run in the final eight innings of that game and kind of made it a little bit more of a too close for comfort outing than I'm sure they would have liked to, but still lots of positives. And again, you get out of here with a 4-0 week and you head into another four game week here on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think there's certainly a lot of different options that LSU is going to be able to go to. And we'll certainly dive into some of those here in the next several minutes.
Yeah, when Jay Johnson, Gavin Guidry, a couple other guys, you know, spoke, even Hayden Travinsky in the preseason, and the question was continually brought up, you know, what do you think about the pitching staff? What do you think about the pitching staff? And these guys continue to say, there's a lot of them. And there was kind of like a, you know, a joke amongst the media of like, oh yeah, okay, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of different things that you can work with and stuff like that. But man, there's legitimately, and Jay Johnson's not wrong, you can match up on a given weekend, depending on it's a lefty heavy lineup or a righty heavy lineup, kind of however you want. And man, they are at a, have you ever seen this much depth from an LSU pitching staff in your time covering or just being, you know, I know when you were a fan of the program, I mean, it's pretty miraculous, pretty incredible to see the depth they have.
They've always had some pretty good top end talent. I mean, I immediately go back to 2017 when they had Lang and Poche. They had Zach Hess, who was like a really dominant freshman pitcher out of the bullpen that was kind of their closer. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what movie reference it was from now, but he kind of had this aura about him by the time they got to Omaha. So that staff was really, really deep and pretty talented. But in terms of just like depth wise and just quality of arms, number of quality of arms they have on this staff, I don't know that that I've seen it at least since covering the team in 2017. And that was my first year covering it. So yeah, I think even last year's team, you know, you had it early in the year. And I think that, you know, kind of as the season wore along, you kind of lost some of those guys. I mean, Chase Shores was lost in the middle of the season. Garrett Edwards was lost. I mean, those were two guys that you really, I think, could have helped carry you to Omaha anyway, but they just did a really nice job of being able to kind of piece it together when they lost some of those arms. And I mean, look, they have 9 or 10 left-handed pitchers. They have a good balance there and really exciting with the number of options, like you just mentioned there.
A lot of options. And you're also seeing some guys that maybe didn't carry the star power, you know, in coming into the season or in the recruiting rankings, really doing well. I'll give out one guy, and Jay Johnson was high on him during kind of, and he referred to it as the spring training portion, was a guy like Will Helmers, has stuck with the program, and, you know, they feel like he can be a guy that can eat some middle innings and late innings as well. I don't want to mispronounce, and you and I are known.
I'll tell you right now, Fidel Ulloa is how you pronounce his name. And yes, he's probably, I think he was the biggest surprise that I had this year or this weekend. I mean, just was one of the guys we didn't really talk about a whole bunch at all this offseason. I think he kind of got just kind of thrown into the under the radar with that signing class with all those freshmen that you brought in. And they brought him in kind of at last minute. And I think, you know, we asked Jay about this early in the weekend, just kind of what attracted him, you know, to Ulloa. And he said he got a coach from one of his JUCO guys that he knows very well out there out west. And it's one of those deals where relationships really do work out for you in this business. And Jay has done a really nice job of building up strong relationships throughout the country. And he got tipped off on him. And, sent Josh Jordan out there to watch him, and Josh Jordan came back and said, let's jump on this guy right now. I mean, he's somebody that we think can really help. And you saw it, throws 95, 96 with a really, really nice slider, really good curveball, mm-hmm. I think that you can work on as well. But, I think he's going to be a really, really good weapon for LSU, either as a middle relief, just to get out of some bad jams, somebody that you can maybe even close games with. I mean, I was really, really impressed by what he did this weekend.
Yeah, I was looking at his stats. Obviously, on February 17th, that Saturday game, he pitched in the close, once again, another close game. You saw they kind of used him in high leverage situations that opening weekend. They won that one 2-0, went an inning in a third, faced six batters, struck out three, walked one. And then obviously Monday's matchup, a clean inning to close the game out there and earn the save on Monday. So, look, we're not saying that, you know, we're going to see you be a guy potentially in, you know, Hoover or, you know, in Omaha, maybe closing out the, you know, the final 3 outs of the game, maybe so, but it's a guy that, you know, early on they feel like they trust and has the stuff to maybe be a back end guy for them, where Glenn, that was kind of a revolving door at times last year over the course of the whole season, where if you can find something early on and roll with it through kind of the months of February and March, it really sets you up to have more confidence when you really get into the meat of that conference weekend schedule. And I think Fidel Yoa is a nice piece, and he's got some good stuff, like you mentioned. I wanted to get your thoughts because you were there. Luke Holman, what'd you think of Luke Holman, what he brings to the table? I was joking with some people when I was in the press box. Friday nights are going to look a little bit different just going forward because Paul Skeens is Paul Skeens. But what Luke Holman did, you know, keeping that team in the game when the offense necessarily wasn't there on Saturday, just talk about his performance, what you saw out of that young man, and why LSU fans could be excited for what he brings to the table here in 2024.
Yeah, he was fantastic. And, you know, the stuff isn't overpowering. It's 92 to 94, but it's the location that he has with all of his pitches. It's just, if you know, LSU fans will you know, call me out on this if they want to, but reminds me a little bit of Eric Walker, his freshman year at LSU. And there was a guy, he was a young pitcher that actually slid in as that third starter in that 2017 team, and was a really, really electric, dominant pitcher for them, just because of his location and his command and the number of pitches that he was able to use in his toolbox, really, really worked to his benefit. And I think you get that same feel with Holman here. I was really impressed. The one inning there where it looked like it might get a little bit hairy for him, there was a leadoff double and then there was a single, and you're all of a sudden looking at runners on the corners with no outs and, you know, clinging to a 1-0 lead. And he comes back and he strikes out three straight batters to get him out of the jam. And it was really off to the races from there. He had 10 strikeouts in the 5.1 innings that he played. Just really strong command. He threw a ton of strikes. I mean, he's
ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy. Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Because of how well he does with that, with his strike zone discipline and just kind of the way that he is able to mix in a fastball, a slider. We didn't even get to see the curveball all that much in the game on Saturday, but really great first start. And I could absolutely see, maybe not this week, just because it's kind of a short week and they just want to, you know, they don't want to pitch a guy like Holman on 5 days rest this early into the year. I think it makes sense to throw Thatcher out there on Thursday and have Holman on Friday, but it sets you up for next week to potentially make that switch. If you want him to be the Friday guy, at least in the short term, I think it's still something that they want to kind of hash out as a staff and just kind of see how the next few days play out. But no doubt that I think Luke Holman was the most impressive starting pitcher that we saw this weekend. He was on his game and somebody that I think is going to be right at the top of SEC pitchers this year once again.
So, Glenn, obviously pitching was something that people might be concerned with the walks. They might kind of look at a couple things and think, oh, it's too much. Jay Johnson said, hey, that's just something kind of irons itself out. He kind of has the same feeling for the offense. I know we touched on a little bit and you mentioned a little bit in the opening, but offense sometimes just kind of takes longer to get going. Look, bats getting up to the speed of the game, facing guys that you hadn't been facing for a month and a half, 2 months, if you really want to go back down to the fall. But LSU's lineup is constructed differently this year. Yes, there's the power. Yes, there's the pop. Jared Jones has been already just a massive home run threat for this team. But I think what it's going to come down to, and it really kind of came down to last year, is your glue guys. A guy like Stephen Milam is probably going to force his way into the lineup if he keeps hitting like this consistently. Yeah. You know, Josh Pearson, what does he bring to the table over the course of the next season or over the course of the whole season? And then a guy like Mac Bingham, which I wrote a piece on him the other day. The guy's just kind of like a guy that can kickstart your offense from anywhere in the lineup. Speed, really good bat-to-ball skills. I was impressed with the way this lineup's constructed, and I think it can be a really fun season, maybe in a different way. I don't know if they're going to lead the country in home runs this year, but I think it's going to be an exciting brand of baseball. And Bingham kind of talked about that. He said Jay Johnson wants to be able to win in multiple ways. When you can win offensively with the long ball, with small ball, you know, with ABC baseball, it's really hard to beat you when you have that balanced offense.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And I think you trot out four different lineups in four games. And there's, you know, different guys sitting on each day. One day it was my first day, it was Milam. Second day it was, I believe it was Jake Brown. And then you sat Paxton Kling. And I think they're just doing a lot of mixing and matching right now with their offense. And another couple guys that you could throw up there, Travinsky, I thought had a really nice weekend as well, swinging the bat. I thought Brady Neal did a really nice job in his couple starts and his plate appearances as well. And I think what you really see with this team and what has been a hallmark of Jay Johnson since he got here is just the plate discipline. You've always just wanted to see these guys take really good at bats, and there were some bad at bats in there as well. I mean, certainly guys struggled and there were some strikeouts and they're going to have to cut down on those. But I think overall they were getting the bat on the ball. They were putting it in play. I think that first game maybe it was the first game. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was the Saturday game with Holman when it was like 2-0 and it was really bad conditions. And I think they just were hitting it into bad spots and just not getting very lucky with the ball falling in that game, but they were making good contact. They were hitting the ball hard. And you know, more often than not, when you're when you've got good plate discipline, you've got a good approach and a good plan entering a game, that that'll help see you through. And I'm not worried about this offense in the long run. I think just like you said, in the short term here, it's going to maybe take a few weeks for them to kind of find their stride and kind of get going as a group, just because they're at the same time they're also making a lot of these changes in terms of their lineup construction and just kind of where they want guys in the order. And, you know, I know I came in with an idea of guys like, you know, Braswell maybe hitting leadoff. And I mean, he was, you know, buried after game two at that nine hole spot. Like
his best game of the weekend at that spot too.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I mean, and then Bingham was a leadoff guy one day and then he was in the seven hole the next day. And, you know, Tommy White was in the three hole a couple days and it was in the two hole the next couple. So like, I think it's just a lot of mixing and matching that Jay's going to have to do with this lineup, but I think they have a lot of options. I think that the four different lineups in four games tells you that they like a lot of these players that, you know, they have to be deciding between once SEC play comes around. But I do think this non-conference schedule allows them to be a little bit more open with how they construct this thing and how they settle in on what works best with who. And I'm going to be very interested to see kind of what that looks like in in 3 or 4 weeks time, instead of just looking at the immediate, you know, 1 to 2 game, you know, outlook of it.
Yeah. This is a time too, where like you can use these games and Jay Johnson mentioned this, like the games, even in a game that was, you know, kind of iffy on the pitching on Friday in the opener, you know, it was a high scoring affair between VMI, which brought in, by the way, VMI, I know they got run ruled in Sunday, but that was a team on Friday that brought back a very veteran team, was the number four scoring offense in the country last year, and brought back, I think, 8 of their 9 starters. Like, it's a team that understood how to play baseball in tough environments, and credit to them. They gave LSU all they could handle on that Friday game. But I did want to get to this, because with this one guy we have not mentioned, and before we kind of just take a look at what is going to go on this weekend, Brady Neal on Sunday, Glenn. Catcher is going to be one of the wildest positions to watch this year, because I thought Alex Milazzo looked good. The catchers defensively looked really good, you know, throwing out a team at VMI that led the country in steals last year. But Brady Neal on Sunday, he came into the postgame presser and was laughing and joking, said, yep, that was pretty fun. Like, just pretty fun, with kind of a smirk on his face. The grand slam, 2 doubles, and he did all that in the first 5 innings of that baseball game. If he takes off offensively and, of course, stays healthy, that's a guy where maybe he's the key that unlocks the entire offense. I know we've mentioned a couple of different guys, but Brady Neal really emerging as an offensive threat. We already know how good he is defensively and what Jay Johnson and that staff thinks of him, you know, sitting behind the plate calling pitches and calling a game. But, man, Brady Neal, that would be really, really fun to watch. Him and Hayden Chervinsky, and even sprinkling in Alex Milazzo as well, that's probably the best catcher room in the entire country. Maybe I'm biased, but it might be.
It's certainly the biggest blend of experience and talent and just pure hitting ability, defense, everything that you want, I think you have in those three guys combined. And it's going to be tough. I mean, like, I think that's going to be a part of Johnson's job. It's going to be really tough. I think you can probably pencil in Chervinsky as the DH on days that he doesn't catch. And so I do think we're talking more about Milazzo, Neal, kind of what that looks like. And last year it was Neal that started a lot of the games early in the season, and they would bring in Milazzo late innings for defensive purposes. But look, Milazzo went 3 for 4 at the plate this weekend as well. I mean, he got 3 big hits in his 4 plate appearances, and we obviously know what he can do on the defensive side of things as well. But I think there's something to what you're saying there, and that Brady Neal just gives you that element of offense that can really move this group forward, this lineup forward. And that Sunday game was a really great example of that. I thought he, even on games this weekend or plate appearances where he didn't get hits, I thought he put together some really good at bats overall. And so it's going to be interesting. I'll be excited to see kind of what that looks like this weekend after, you know, Jay Johnson's had some time to digest it. And I'm sure we'll ask him about it. We have a press conference today, Wednesday, with him. And so we'll maybe have some stuff up on that on the site later, just kind of the embarrassment of riches they have at the catcher spot. But it's it's a good problem to have if you're LSU, to kind of have three guys back there. And I think for nothing else than to just kind of be, you know, kind of keep this room healthy too. I mean, like last year you saw it, Neil, his body kind of broke down on him after a couple months there in his first year. And so bringing him back slowly this offseason was always a targeted goal for him to get back. And you're seeing some early returns of a really promising, you know, year two breakout. They get a lot more Brady Neal at the plate. And I think going forward, he's somebody that can absolutely be a big time X factor in this team reaching its peak goals.
We've already kind of teased it, but obviously LSU with another little four-game series this weekend, starting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then going into Sunday. No Monday game. But, man, Thursday you'll have to tune in your radios or hop on the computer and hide that extra tab if you're sitting in the office to watch LSU baseball. That's okay. Glenn, wanted to get this as we wrap it up. Maybe one just maybe key thing you want to see. Obviously, LSU's playing Stony Brook in Northern Illinois. It's one of those things where it's, you know, you're not going to do maybe necessarily deep dives into the opponents this weekend like you would do in a conference or a high-profile non-conference showdown like they will the next week when they head out to Houston to play Texas, yeah, a co-host of other teams. But your thoughts, maybe just one thing you want to see out of this group or something that would make, give you more encouragement as they head into the next week, which is going on the road for the first time at Rice and then obviously staying in Houston for that kind of little jamboree or of some sorts out there at Minute Maid Park.
Yeah, I think for me, I'll be interested to see if there's a lineup that they use twice in a weekend. I mean, I know that they had four, you know, I would just hammer that point home here in the last couple minutes. But, like, you know, are we going to see eight different lineups in eight different games? I mean, I'm just not sure just maybe where Jay Johnson's head is at with all that yet. And if they kind of settle in on a rotation or a lineup or an order that kind of makes sense for a couple day stretch. I mean, that would be, I think, a real sign of just kind of honing in on who they really like at some of these spots. I mean, the outfield really does seem like, you know, kind of the way that I see it now is that this comes down to one spot in the outfield and Steven Milam. And that's kind of where I think you're going to see the different orders kind of pegged in, because I think Milam, like you mentioned, is a guy that until he gives you a reason to take him out of the lineup, you can't take him out. And that's going to obviously push Josh Pearson to the outfield, or it's going to push Jake Brown into the outfield. And then you take Pearson out or Kling out or, you know, just like that was the rotation that we saw this weekend in that lineup. And they all looked pretty good. I mean, like, I think overall they had some good moments, some really good moments. All of them did, especially Kling from a defensive perspective. You can just see the talent that's oozed from him as a defensive center fielder. But Jake Brown was really, really solid for you at the plate. Josh Pearson is kind of that stable veteran bat and just kind of press that I think you'd like to see, just because I do think he's going to be somebody that's an everyday player come SEC time. But there's until those other guys give you reasons not to play him, then you've got to play him. And so how that kind of shakes out with that second base look, you know, I'm not worried about Michael Braswell yet. Is there a day where you give him just a day off and just kind of maybe put Nippelt over there at short, just to kind of give Braswell a chance to breathe a little bit after a little bit of a struggling week, opening weekend? Maybe comes out and he lights it up here in the second weekend, and we're looking like clowns and fools over here. So, like, I do think that there's, you know, it's still probably too early to make any of these kind of judgment calls yet, which is why they're tinkering with the lineup and the order with the way that they are. So, be very interested to see just kind of how the lineup and order shake out for me.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Nothing really more for me to pounce upon. I really like what you said about the lineup combination. That was good, because, look, if they find something that works maybe in the Thursday game, they, you know, have a plan going in, but then maybe Sunday they say, you know what, let's roll back with what we did on Thursday. That's what we like. And then you kind of see some consistency start to come out of that group. It's very interesting indeed. LSU baseball underway. And, man, the weather was kind of crazy last weekend. We had some fantastic weather Saturday. Jay Johnson said he doesn't think he's ever coached in weather like that ever, with just how cold and windy it was. He said it felt like it was, he was you know, up north somewhere. Did not feel like he was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But hopefully better skies this weekend. Hope you get out to the ballpark. If you do, and we're walking around, make sure to say hello to us. Join the message boards as well. Join the conversation. Great in-game threads by not even some of our, you know, full-time staff members, just some mods over there putting in great work, and we appreciate them. We appreciate you listening to the podcast, whether it's on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, give us a follow, a like there, or if you're on YouTube and you're watching this, you know, maybe you snuck it in Thursday morning before first pitch. We appreciate that as well. Hit subscribe there too. Glenn West, my name is Bryce Coon. We'll catch you next time here on The Go 24/7.
Hello, everyone. It's Micah Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.